Hello, Symphony, and welcome to this morning's devotional. We are continuing on in the book of Judges, chapter 19. In those days, when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite was sojourning in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, who took to himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. And his concubine was unfaithful to him, and she went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah, and was there some 4 months. Then her husband arose and went after her, to speak kindly to her and bring her back. He had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the girl's father saw him, he came with joy to meet him. And his father-in-law, the girl's father, made him stay, and he remained with him 3 days. So they ate and drank and spent the night there. And on the fourth day they arose early in the morning, and he prepared to go. But the girl's father said to his son-in-law, "Strengthen your heart with a morsel of bread, and after that you may go." So the two of them sat and ate and drank together. And the girl's father said to the man, "Be pleased to spend the night and let your heart be merry." And when the man rose up to go, his father-in-law pressed him till he spent the night there again. And on the fifth day he rose early in the morning to depart. And the girl's father said, "Strengthen your heart and wait until the day declines." So they ate, both of them. And when the man and his concubine and his servant rose up to depart, his father-in-law, the girl's father, said to him, "Behold, now the day has waned toward evening. Please spend the night. Behold, the day draws to its close. Lodge here and let your heart be merry, and tomorrow you shall arise early in the morning for your journey and go home." But the man would not spend the night. He rose up and departed and arrived opposite Jebus, that is, Jerusalem. He had with him a couple of saddled donkeys, and his concubine was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was nearly over, and the servant said to his master, "Come now, let us turn aside to the city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." And his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into the city of foreigners who did not belong to the people of Israel, but we will pass on to Gibeah." And he said to his young man, "Come and let us draw near to one of the places and spend the night at Gibeah or at Ramah." So they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside there to go in and spend the night at Gibeah. And he went in and sat down in the open square of the city, for no one took them into his house to spend the night. And behold, an old man was coming from his work in the field at evening. The man was from the hill country of Ephraim, and he was sojourning in Gibeah. The men of the place were Benjaminites. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the traveler in the open square of the city. And the old man said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" And he said to him, "We are passing from Bethlehem in Judah to the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, from which I come. I went to Bethlehem in Judah, and I am going to the house of the Lord. But no one has taken me into his house. We have straw and feed for our donkeys with bread and wine for me and your female servant and the young man with your servants. There is no lack of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be to you. I will care for all your wants. Only do not spend the night in the square." So he brought him into his house and gave the donkeys feed, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. As they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, worthless fellows, surrounded the house, beating on the door. And they said to the old man, the master of the house, "Bring out the man who came into your house, that we may know him." And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said to them, "No, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Since this man has come into my house, do not do this vile thing. Behold, here are my virgin daughter and his concubine. Let me bring them out now. Violate them and do with them what seems good to you. But against this man, do not do this outrageous thing." But the men would not listen to him. So the man seized his concubine and made her go out to them. And they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. And as the dawn began to break, they let her go. And as morning appeared, the woman came and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was light. And her master rose up in the morning, and when he opened the doors of the house and went out to go on his way, behold, there was his concubine lying at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. He said to her, "Get up, let us be going." But there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey, and the man rose up and went away to his home. And when he entered his house, he took a knife, and taking hold of his concubine, he divided her, limb by limb, into 12 pieces, and sent her throughout all the territory of Israel. And all who saw it said, "Such a thing has never happened or been seen from the day that the people of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt until this day. Consider it, take counsel, and speak. Amen. This is a sobering passage and is perhaps the most graphic and disturbing chapter in the Bible. It's hard to read, and unfortunately, that's the point. Throughout the book of Judges, we've seen the Israelites succumb to idolatry, violence, and division. God raised up a judge to help deliver them over and over again, but Israel kept returning to their own ways. From chapter 17 till the end of chapter 21, a line that gets repeated is, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And that's the key to reading this passage. We've seen the spiraling descent of the Israelites' moral code crumbling as they chose to forget God. They lost all framework of what was right in God's eyes and became wicked in all of their ways. The book of Judges stands as a warning to us all that true depravity comes when we are void of God in our lives. It's ironic how the Levite wanted to avoid foreign cities and chose to try to find housing in Gibeah, his own countrymen, residents of the tribe of Benjamin. Yet, in the supposed city of the people of God, there was no hospitality, no concern for the welfare of others, and hosted what verse 22 described as worthless men, wicked men. It's important to note that they did not become like this overnight. As we've seen throughout the story of Judges, they kept forgetting God's deliverance and went back to living a life they thought was right in their own eyes. They forgot about the character of God and kept compromising, living in a life of sin. Sometimes, we even fool ourselves to think that because we are doing other good things, the sinful part can neutralize itself. For example, the master of the house must have felt like he was doing a noble thing. "I'm the only person in this entire city that is willing to host this man. I'm so hospitable, and I'm protecting him from the crazy men who want to violate him." Yet, it was all at the expense of the concubine and even him offering up his virgin daughter. I think it's safe to say that when we read a passage like this, we can agree the sin and violation is extremely severe. But this chapter is a warning that we too, when apart from God, can spiral down to such depravity. What sins are you tolerating in your life? Perhaps it doesn't seem that bad, or turning a blind eye to live in ignorance may give you enough assurance to keep sinning. But the Bible is clear that sin begets sin, and sin leads to destruction and death, just like we saw in this passage. Let's take time today to do an honest assessment of our hearts and repent and render our hearts back to our God. The most vulnerable and victimized in the story is the unnamed concubine woman. As a concubine, she was viewed as less than her husband's wife, primarily serving the function of providing more offspring and sexual pleasure. Verse 2 says she was unfaithful to him and left to her father's house. The footnotes also use the word "had a dispute." The Levite husband followed after her and spoke kindly to her to take her back home. We can see his words were a show and were shallow, as he was so quick to sacrifice her to the Gibeon man in order to save himself. Note how in the beginning of the passage, the author notes the Levite man as her husband. But by verse 27, he is referred to as her master, further solidifying her being less than. Even the next morning, his curt words were a mere "get up." It's not clear in the passage if the woman died from the brutal sexual violence enacted against her, or if he gave the final blow by dismembering her to send to the tribes of Israel. Regardless, there was no honoring of her life. Her story reminds me a lot of the Samaritan woman at a well. A woman who is nothing in the eyes of society, similarly disregarded by the many men in her life. Yet, Jesus saw her and offered her the living water of life. Unlike the Levite, when we try to leave Jesus, Jesus will pursue after us. His kind words are not void, but are filled with certainty and truth. Jesus not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. When the figurative Gibeon man, represented by the crowds and the council, Jesus' life was put at risk. Instead of giving us up to be judged, he was silent, and he took his life for ours. He was crucified so that we could live. As the Bible Project puts it, Judges is a sobering explanation of the human condition that ultimately points out the need for God's grace to send a king who will rescue his people. Let's pray. God, today's passage is so hard to read. It's so heartbreaking seeing the depravity of sin and how a life was so violated. God, we pray that we as a people of yours, that we would not compromise or tolerate the sins in our life, but help us, Lord, to repent and to offer them back up to you, to receive the fullness of your forgiveness. I pray that you would set us apart to live a life of holiness, and that Holy Spirit, you would help us to do so. So we commit this day to you and just say, Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.